Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for watching. We have a big docket today. Everybody's filing motions. First, Lori Vallow, DA's filing motions. And we've got some video of her interacting with the police and her ex-husband, Charles Vallow. Second, Letitia Stauch, her attorneys want to continue the preliminary hearing. Third, Ahmed Arbery case update. We know that one of them, of Michael's family members, is a true crime fan. Want to know how we found out? Next, if you are not offended by this interaction on this video with Ahmed Arbery, you might as well just tear up the Constitution. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. Thank you for watching. My name is Scott Reich. If you haven't already done so, we'd ask you to hit that little subscribe button. Hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or when we go live. And we'll have a little announcement about that at the end of our docket as we have some information about our show this evening. First on the docket, Lori Vallow. The defense in the Lori Vallow case has been filing lots of motions, and none have been fruitful thus far. We know that the bond reduction has been denied. Although it was originally at 5, it was reduced to 1. The subsequent reduction, denied. So Lori Vallow is sitting there. Now, the prosecution can also file some motions, and these are what you refer to as boilerplate motions. They're standard. The only thing you do is you change the name and the caption, and that's about it. The district attorney has filed their boilerplate motions, basically stating that you need to give us everything prior to trial, any witnesses, any notices of alibis, any documents that you intend to introduce. Okay, that's nice. Boilerplate motions are done to CYA, protect, make sure you've asked for everything. Way too early in this particular case is we haven't even had a preliminary hearing on these particular charges, and they're already asking for information that should be turned over, usually no earlier than 35 days prior to trial. Sometimes judges will set it out to about 60 days prior to trial. Little premature, but I guess everybody has a little extra time with the courts being closed as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, next, as it relates to Ms. Vallow, some tape has shown up between an interaction with a police officer, Charles Vallow, and Lori Vallow. The video shows Charles Vallow outside his home in January of 2019. He had phoned the police claiming Lori had been threatening to kill him and was calling him by a different name because she no longer thought that he was her husband. He also told the police that she had been making large withdrawals from their account and asked if this was legal. The cop wrote in his report that Charles Vallow's behavior was strange and that it seemed a little odd that he was more concerned with the money than the fact that his wife had these alleged incoherent behavior and ramblings. Charles Vallow's complained to the police that Lori Vallow had basically lost her reality. He said that they had had a great marriage, and then all of a sudden, within the last month, things just blew up. He said that Lori Vallow then began to threaten to kill him because you are not Charles and no one will care. She thinks that I am a Nick Schneider, and he said it's a name she used, but he has no idea where it came from or who it might be. According to the police report, Lori Vallow then was allowed to drive herself to the hospital for a mental health evaluation. It's certainly unclear what happened in the following months, but we do know June of that year, Lori's brother, Alex Cox, shot Charles Vallow dead after a dispute in their marital home in Arizona. The Lori Vallow case just gets more bizarre every day, and just when you think it can't get any stranger, there's more stuff that comes out. Who knows how much, if any of this is actually going to be admissible as it relates to the desertion charges. Probably little to none of it at all, since the person making the statements is now deceased and that would be hearsay. No one except potentially an expert witness could possibly rely upon those statements, and that's only if they were as in a police report. So probably not coming into evidence either way. But as I've said this before, I think cases like this simply show how dysfunctional, well, basically everyone is in society. Everyone's got a secret in their family, and it just shows how strange life can be. Next on the docket, Letitia Stauch. She is in custody on a no bond hold because she is being held as it relates to the death of 11-year-old Gannon Stauch, her stepson. Well, guess what? Who called it? Yep, I did. The preliminary hearing has already been continued, and now the defense is asking that it be continued again. Why, you say, would it be continued again? Well, obviously the COVID-19. The defense attorneys for Letitia Stauch have been basically told to stay at home. They have not been able to visit their client. Apparently there was limited, and then the video conferencing ceased, and that now they can only have telephone communication. And if they want to go see Ms. Stauch in person, they have to sit in a small room divided by glass, and could be a problem. I'm not sure why everybody has a problem with speaking with their client behind glass. Sometimes that's what you get when they're in custody. I have had to pass plea paperwork, evidence, reports through a small little window where you literally were there all day to have it done to make sure your client was able to review the discovery, and where the client's been handcuffed on the other side, particularly if they've been in the SHU, which is the special housing unit of the Federal Detention Center, which is basically if you don't play with well with others or you're being punished. That's what you have to do to prepare for trial. You have to get it done. So more than likely, the judge is going to grant the continuance of the preliminary hearing in this particular case. Defense attorneys for Letitia Stauch say that they have much investigation to do that not only involves issues and witnesses here in the state of Colorado, but Florida and South Carolina. There are some 300 witnesses that have been endorsed or listed as potential witnesses by the prosecution, and the defense wants time to do that. I can assure you, even in a homicide case, you are not going to have had the opportunity by the preliminary hearing to interview 300 witnesses. Most of them are police. They're not going to talk to you in any way. Now, of course, like any good defense attorney, what do you do when you can't speak with your client? You say that your client needs a bond and they need to be released so that they can assist with the preparation of their defense. Now, in all honesty, how likely is it that Letitia Stauch is going to get a bond? Let me think about that. Slim to none. She is not going anywhere. The preliminary hearing will be a hearing also referenced as a proof evident presumption great. If the court finds that the proof is evident and the presumption is great that she will be convicted, that the evidence is somewhat strong or overwhelming, then she will be held without a bond. The COVID-19, nice try, not going to get her a bond. Now, one more thing as it relates to the preliminary hearing, which is a very good point. Now, there's some question of whether you have a right to confrontation as it relates to these preliminary matters, these preliminary hearings. Certainly at trial, it does. However, and this is one of the points that I have made when trying to discuss the issue as it relates to conducting trials in criminal cases, which I don't think can be done via Zoom or people spread out or people having masks on, okay? When people are subject to cross-examination, we need to see their faces. And the public defenders for Letitia Stauch, they've stated, and I agree with them in this motion, that they have to have the ability to see one's facial expressions to determine their veracity and to see how a person behaves when subject to in-person cross-examination is a promise the United States judicial system that Ms. Stauch does not wish to sacrifice. I totally agree. There's something about a witness chair. It's not a truth chair. Certainly, many people have lied in those chairs. However, there's something about being subject to cross-examination where people want to tell the truth. They become uncomfortable when they're confronted with the truth or having to answer a question that they don't want to answer or that they would be unlikely to be able to avoid. But when a judge says you have to answer it, it makes them do it, and you never know where it may in fact lead. So kudos to Letitia Stout's attorneys for defending one's constitutional rights of their client. Good on them. Next on the docket, let's talk Ahmed Arbery. Now, a lot of people are familiar with this case by now. He is the young man that was shot, and now Gregory McMichael, 64, and Travis McMichael, 34, a father-son team, so to speak, are charged with his death. They will be indicted shortly, and ultimately a jury will decide their fate unless there's, of course, a plea agreement and they are given the presumption of innocence. Well, some news came out the other day that Lindsay McMichael apparently strolled over to the scene where Ahmed Arbery had been shot, and she apparently took some photographs, and she posted these photographs on her Instagram account. They've since been taken down, and obviously Mr. Arbery's family and his family's attorneys think that the images are deeply disturbing. Now, Lindsay McMichael said, "I had no nefarious or malicious intent when I posted the picture," she told a news outlet. "The thing is, I'm a huge fan of true crime. I listen to 4 or 5 podcasts a week. I'm constantly watching that sort of thing. I get it. Sometimes you got to talk about it. Sometimes you got to see it. Sometimes discretion is the better part of valor, and you just want to be, you know, a little decent." In this particular circumstance, Lindsay McMichael admitted posting the unedited image of a blood-soaked Arbery lying on the street in Brunswick, Georgia. Ms. McMichael has stated that she has received death threats. Now, certainly nobody should be calling and threatening anyone with any kind of injury. That accomplishes nothing. But she did say, "Hey, we're not the ones on trial," referring to herself. "My brother and my father, they are, yes. I don't think that they were beating the hood of the truck and saying, let's go get this person," according to Lindsay McMichael. She says, "I think that things just really escalated. I just want people to realize that we are not monsters." Now, it is a little ironic that these photos kind of got Ms. McMichael in a little bit of hot water. Nothing that's going to get her criminal liability. But in fact, it was her father who, through the attorney that they had at the time, released the video that created all the brouhaha because he thought it was going to clear and exonerate him, when in reality, it turned out to be something that is actually inculpatory, which shows their guilt. I am telling you, we have a video of Ahmed Arbery, who were contacted by police. He was chilling in a car all by himself. And the police came up. They wanted to talk to him. He was polite. He asked for his license. He asked for his license back. Wanted to know, "Why are you messing with me?" The cop got agitated. Next thing you know, he's being searched. Next thing you know, another cop's coming up and, fortunately, not tasing the gentleman, Mr. Arbery, because his taser didn't work. But I am telling you, and let me tell you where I sit before I tell you where I stand. In this particular case, this is offensive. And frankly, I don't care if this is Mr. Arbery, if this is your son or daughter, or the kid that goes to the elite preparatory academy. If he is sitting somewhere where he can chill and relax and take his day off and he's not doing anything illegal, and this is why cops never seem to just let anything go. Mr. Arbery was polite. No wants or warrants. At that point, the contact was over. The cop wouldn't let him do it. Then we had to search it. Then the next thing you know, what are they doing on the video? "We want to search your car." Well, guess what? They ultimately searched Mr. Arbery's car. They found nothing illegal in the car. And if they had found anything illegal, it would have been an illegal search. And this is the kind of crap that goes on every day across the nation when cops want to get into somebody's car. Mr. Arbery did nothing but exercise his constitutional rights, which was Give me my license back. I'm sitting here minding my own business. Why are you messing with me? And you saw who escalated it? It wasn't Mr. Arbery. It was the police officer who said, hey, I'm just checking. This is a drug area. And the guy's like, man, I'm just sitting here. Okay, maybe you shouldn't have used the F word a couple of times. But guess what? Who hasn't heard that anywhere? And if a police officer can't deal with that, he needs to go find a new job. I appreciate the police. Got a dangerous job. They deal with difficult people. But in this situation, they don't need to go around harassing people when they're doing nothing. This is why cops get a bad rap. Just had to let it go. I watched this video and I'm telling you, this is the kind of crap I hear about from clients all the time. The basis of the contact is over and the cops, well, what are you doing here? Mind if I search you? Oh, I'm not searching. I'm just checking for weapons. Why? The guy's there, got shorts and a t-shirt, no t-shirt on. We want to search your car. Why? You think I got drugs? Then go get a warrant. But it's just a harassment. Just pisses me off to no end. And fortunately, it's seen on video. This should be an example at every police academy of what not to do because you are violating a citizen's rights. And guess what, police officers? You've taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution. That's right, to serve and protect, not harass. And if that was your kid and you saw that on video, you'd be pissed. And if you're not pissed by this particular video, you might as well just tear up the Constitution because you may think it only applies to you. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, Thomas Reese. You know, with the times today, people are spending a lot more time with family members. And sometimes that meal preparation time can really be the point where people are getting hangry. Well, Mr. Reese, 34, was in a verbal argument over a family issue with his spouse. Apparently, he got mad and threw a piece of raw chicken at his wife. The raw chicken struck his wife in the back of the head, whereupon Mr. Reese's wife subsequently gathered up his clothes in a laundry basket and placed them by the front door. Reese then tossed the basket across the room, once again striking his wife with the container, according to police reports. No physical description was given of Mrs. Reese. However, Mr. Reese was 6'4", 274 pounds, and is ultimately charged with domestic battery. And Mr. Reese is our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Now, we've talked about this before. No one deserves to be hit, and particularly a female. And guys, I'm telling you, never, ever, ever, ever hit a woman. I don't care if they hit you first, you don't do it. All right? Bottom line. But Mr. Reese, you should have just stopped at the chicken, all right? And when she put your clothes at the front door, you should have left. Because let me give you some marital advice here, Mr. Reese. If you're throwing raw chicken at your wife and ultimately the laundry hamper with your clothes, guess what? The marriage is over, all right? When we've got to violence, it's over. And now I'm telling you, if she's going to send you to jail, which you probably should go for hitting her, then the marriage is over. Because if they send you to jail once, they'll do it again. All right? It's over. Hate to tell you. Maybe it'll work out. In my experience, it just doesn't seem to work out when couples have a physical altercation and somebody goes to jail. A lot of people walking on eggshells to see if they're actually going to upset somebody and possibly go back to jail again. So that's where we stand on that. All right, let me know about Lori Vallow. Do you think these videos of her interacting with the police basically being delusional is of any relevance? Letitia Stauch, are you surprised that her attorneys want another continuance of the preliminary hearing? And more importantly, are you offended by the police treating Ahmed Arbery the way that he was treated in this video? I think it's offensive. And ask yourself, if that was my kid, would you be outraged? And if you're not outraged because it isn't your kid, well, you may need to rethink some things. Because what the police did in this particular case, I'm telling you, was unconstitutional. We are going to go live tonight at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. And since we are still in YouTube detention, we have to do it on Facebook. And after we do that for about an hour on Facebook, then we'll go to a exclusive Patreon members video as well, where we go live. And we'll try to answer your questions there as well. Less people will be there than when we go live, so obviously increases your chances of questions being answered. And I'll answer just about anything you want to know about the law. If I can't answer it for you, if I don't know it, I'll let you know. Or ask me anything. You know, who knows, maybe you can ask me about stuff behind here. We get lots of questions about the stuff in my bookcases. So have a great day. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tonight when we go live on Facebook. Have a good day.